Tonight's shiur is titled The Ten Sons of Haman in One Breath, and I want to take up the halacha and the idea of saying the ten sons of Haman, their names, with the Neshima Achas in one breath. I think we've all noticed in years past that the Korei HaMegillah, it's a minog for him to read it very quickly because he's reading it with one breath, and I want to just understand, you know, why that is the case. Why is it that it's important to read the Aseres Bnei Haman in one breath? And then I want to get into some of the machloksim and some of the more halacha l'maisa ideas and concepts in this halacha. So let's take it up from the source. The source of the minog to say the ten sons of Haman in one breath is from Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. And I will take it up from there. Number one, Aseres Bnei Haman, the ten sons of Haman. Amar Rav Ada Demin Yafo. So Rav Ada from Yafo said, Aseres bnei Haman va'aseres tsarech lememrinhu b'neshima achas. You have to say the ten names of the son of Haman and the word aseres in one breath. My taima, what's the reason? Kulu bahade hadadi nafku nishmasayu. They all died at the same exact time. Their neshamos, their souls, were removed simultaneously. That's why we read it b'neshima achas, to demonstrate that they all died at once. Okay, let me just read on. We're going to get the facts of this Gemara, and then we're going to come back. Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, "Vav devaisasa tzarech lemimsicha bezekifa kimoridaya delavaros." So the vav in the one of the sons of Haman, his name is Vaisasa. So the vav of Vaisasa, the first vav, we have to lengthen it like a boat pole of the river of Libros, the Livros. I'm just reading from the English. So we have to elongate the vav of Vaisasa. So that we have two halachas. One halacha is that we have to say the Aseres Bnei Haman in one breath. And the other halacha is the person who writes the Megillah, he has to change the it seems like he has to change the vav, either in writing, we'll see, maybe in reading, but it has to be changed and elongated from its normal way. My time, what's the reason? Kulu b'chad zekifa is the kifu, because all the sons of Haman were hung on the same pole. Okay? Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, we have one more statement. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa says, Darash Rabbi Shila Ish Kfar Timrasa, Kola Shiros Kula Nechtavos Ariach Al Gabe Levena, Ulevena Al Gabe Ariach, Chutz Mishirozu Malche Kanan, Shariach Al Gabe Ariach, Ulevena Al Gabe Levena. Okay, so most Shiros, most songs in the Torah and in Tanakh, they're written in a staggered fashion. You don't have them that each sentence is on top of the other sentence, but it's staggered. For example, Oz Yashir, if you look in the Torah itself, Oz Yashir is staggered. You have two lines on the top, and then you have, you know, one line underneath it, and then two lines. So it's pretty much staggered. And literally, the Gemara says, by most Shiros, you have an Ariach Agabe Levena. Ariach is a half brick on a Levena, which is a whole brick. Chutz Mishirozu Umalchei Kanan, except for by the Aseres Bnei Haman and Malchei Kanan, Shariach Agabe Ariach, Levena Agabe Levena. By these two shiros, they're not staggered, but they're like one column. And it's one half brick over one half brick, one full brick of writing over one full brick of writing. My time, what's the reason? Shalotehe tekuma lamapalasan. That there shouldn't be, they should never rise from their downfall. Okay? So we have three statements here that we're going to address tonight. One statement is that the Kore, the person who reads the Aseres Bnei Haman, he has to say it b'neshima achas with one breath. The second statement the Gemara makes is that the Vav of Vaisasa, which is one of the names of the Bnei Haman, has to be elongated. And the third idea is that in the, my friend Paul likes to use the word epigraphy, so in the epigraphy, the style of the Shira of the Bnei Haman is different, and the Malchei Kanan is different from other Shiros in the sense that they're one column and they're not staggered. So we have three halachos. So I want to understand, you know, what is the meaning or what is the reason and the idea and the concept behind these three halachos. But I think before we move forward, I think we have to categorize, you know, we have to categorize these halachos. So I think the first step is that...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Why did they all have to be killed at the same time?
Okay, so that is the main question of the shir. So the main question of the shir is, why is it significant that all the sons of Haman were killed at the same time? It's very nice that the halacha is that we have to express it, b'neshima achas, to reflect the fact that they all died simultaneously. But who cares? Why is it important that they died simultaneously? So that is really the main question of the shir. And look at number two in Rashi. Rashi says, Aseres b'nei Haman va'aseres. Haskara Shimoson Viteva Hasmucha Acharen Klomar Nishmasa Nafluke Achad. So you have to mention all their names and also the word that comes after, which is the word Aseres, Klomar, as if to say Nishmasa Nafluke Achad, that all their neshamos fell at once. So the main question, as Tamar said, was why is it important that they all died simultaneously? But I think there's another question in this Rashi. Another question that we can ask, anybody have any questions on this Rashi?
I have just a question from the time before. What exactly is the definition of a Shira, and why is it considered a Shira just when you mentioned the Haman's son's names?
Well, a Shira is whenever the Torah is written in a different style, but it's a good question. You know, why is it called... You know, why is it written in a different style? It's a good question. I think I have an answer for that, but let me just hold off on that till the end of this year.
Okay.
But I think I have an answer for that. Okay, but another question that bothered me is why is Teva Smucha Acharein important also? Fine, it's one thing that you have to reflect that all of them died, you know, at once. So say all their names, B'Nishim Achas. But you also have to say in Pasuk Yud, if you look at number 3, Pasuk Yud, the next word is Aseres. For some reason, that has to be included in the Neshima Achas. So why does that have to be included in the Neshima Achas? Okay, so that's another question. So we have two questions on the table here. One question is, what is the idea? What is the main concept? And why is it important to reflect that they died simultaneously? And the other one is that in the Neshima, in the one breath, when you're reading the Aseres B'nei Haman, you have to include the word that comes after the Aseres B'nei Haman. So I want to understand why that is the case, what the significance of that idea is. Okay? Another idea, because I'm, yeah.
Can I just ask one thing?
Sure.
And I'm not sure, I don't know if this is relevant, but why is it important to know the names of the sons of Haman?
Okay, good. Good question. Okay, why is it important to know the names? Good. All right, we'll take that up too. All right, good question. Okay? So I'm going in order here. I'm breaking it down. We're going to do the first two halachos, the halacha of reading it b'neshima achas and the halacha of the vav of Vaisasa, and then we'll do the other halacha about the shira. Why? Because the first two halachos seem to be relegated to the b'nei Haman, and the last halacha is not limited to the b'nei Haman, but it's also by Malchei Kenan and Yoshua. So I want to take up the first two. I think there's a more specific idea in the first two, but the third idea also fits in. And I think that's why the Gemara puts it as 1, 2, 3. So I'm starting from the Neshima Achas, and I'm going to address that and take up and ask all the questions, hopefully, and we'll ask the questions. And then we'll take up the next halacha as well, and then we'll give an answer. Okay, so let's get back to it. So now, also, in this halacha of reading the Aseres B'nei Haman B'Neshima Achas, it's interesting that look at number four. Tosfos on the Gemara says Tzarech la'omran b'neshima achas nira dahainu lechachila aval b'dieved yatza. So Tosfos makes an important point that if a person, let's say a person can't do it, he can't read all the Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath, and he needs to take a breath in between. So lechachila, he didn't do it. He didn't do it in the best way, but you're still yotze. He doesn't have to go back and read it again. So that's an interesting idea. It's an interesting point. I think we have to answer why that is so. Why is it the case that, you know, it's only a lechachila situation, but b'dieved you're still yotze? So whatever the idea is, whatever concept we can express to explain why it's important to reflect that they died simultaneously also should explain why it's only an idea lechachila, but not b'dieved. Okay? So now, when did they actually die? It sounds like from the Gemara, and I'm just bringing out all the facts before we define it. It sounds like from the Gemara that they all died simultaneously and they were all hung. The Vav Vaisasa means they're all hung together. So does that mean that they died while they were hung together? So it seems like from the Rishonim, from Rashi and Tosfos, that they really died beforehand and then they were hung together simultaneously. Because if you look in Rashi, in number 5, Rashi in Esther, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he says, "V'es aseres bnei Haman yislu ala eitz, osan shenerigu." So those that were already killed, the aseres bnei Haman were killed simultaneously. It seems like in the battle, in the war, and then they were hung simultaneously as well. So it doesn't mean that they were hung and killed simultaneously, but it means that they were first killed, which is an important point. They were first killed, and then their bodies were taken up, and they were hung on one pole. Okay, and Tosu says the same thing in number 6. He says, "Vayu ne'aragim kvar kodem atliya," that the Aseres B'nei Haman, they were killed before the Taliya, before they were hung up. V'chein mishdai kra, and also the Pasuk seems to support this. B'shushan abira hargu ayudim, v'abed chamesh me'os ish, v'es Aseres B'nei Haman, mashmash b'chlal hariga hayu. Okay, so the Jewish people killed 500 people in Shushan, and included, it sounds like included in that were the Asaras B'nai Haman. So they were killed in the general battle, and then afterwards their bodies were strewn up as one on one pole. Okay, so that's a fact that's going to come into play when we give, you know, when we try to figure it out and try to understand it. Okay, and now just one more interesting idea in the halacha. It's a Shulchan Aruch, number 7. It's Siman Tof Reish Tzadi, Se'if Tesvav. Tzarech Lomar Aseres B'nei Haman V'Aseres Hakol B'Neshima Achas. Okay, it's the same halacha. Lehodia, to tell, to express, Shekulam Nergu V'Nitlu Ke'echad. That they all died, meaning all the Aseres B'nei Haman died together, and they were hung up together. Haga, now they're Amah. V'Dafka L'Chachila. That's only L'Chachila V'B'Dieved Im Hifsik B'Neim Yatza. Tosos, Sof Parakam de Megillah, Vavudram Maril. Okay, so he quotes the Ramah quotes the Tosos that we saw before, that this is only Lechachila that you have to read the Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath. Ulechachila noagin lomar minashima achas mitchilas chamesh meos ish, the es parshandasa ad Aseres. Now there's a new idea introduced by the Ramah, and he's quoting the Maril, and he's saying that where do we start the Neshima Achas? So you would think that you start the Neshima Achas based on the Gemara when we start the names. So if you look at number 3 in the source sheet, you would think that you started in Zion. Ves Parshan Dasa, Ves Dalfon, Ves Asfasa, Ves Porasa, Ves Adalia, Ves Aridasa, Ves Parmashta, Ves Arisai, Ves Aridai, Ves Vaisasa, Aseres. So you'd think you start there. But no, the Maharil and the Ramah say, no, you start earlier in Vav. You start from the Abed Chamesh Meos Ish, and then that's part of the one breath, the Neshima Achas. So it seems strange to me that the Ramah, quoting the Maharil, is starting it earlier than the names. It seems to be a machlokas because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it down. So I would say that the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you should start it at the names themselves. Ves Parshan Dasa, Ves Dalfon, Ves Asvasa. That's where you start the Neshima, that one breath. But according to the Maharil, you start from beforehand. Ves Chamesh Meo, Ve'abed Chamesh Meo Sish. So the question is, what is the basis of this machlokas? Why would you say that you should start before the actual names of Haman are expressed? Okay? And if you look at number 8 in the Taz on that Shulchan Aruch, he says, Metchilas Chamesh Meos Ish, V'Maharil Kosov, B'Shem HaRokeach, Shetaime de Chamesh Meos Ish, Mishum de Aseres B'nei Haman, Hayu Sarei Chamishim, Al Osan He Meos Ish. The reason the Maharil gives is because of the fact that the B'nei Haman, they were actually the platoon or battalion commanders of 50 individuals, of 50 men, and when it says that the 500 men were killed, it included the Aseres B'nei Haman because of the fact that, you know, they were the commanders, they were the sergeants. So therefore, the Maharil maintains that when you mention B'Neshima Achas, the Aseres B'nei Haman, you should mention it with the Chamesh Meos Ish. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold like that, and he holds that you start from the names themselves. So the question is, what is the basis for this machlokas? Okay? So those are the main questions. Let me just review, just because I know there's a lot of questions out there. So the main question was asked by Tamar. The main question is, why is it important to reflect that they all died simultaneously? Who cares if they died simultaneously? Let's say they died one after another, after another, after another. So the Megillah would just express it like that. Why is it important or more significant to express that they died simultaneously? And then another question is, B'Neshima Achas, fine, I get it. We're trying to express that. Why do we have to include the word Vaseres afterwards in the Neshima? I understand the ten sons of Haman, but why Vaseres afterwards? Okay, and then we have an idea that it's only Lechachila, but B'diavad, you're still Yotze. Meaning to say that if a person can't read the Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath, you're still Yotze, and you don't go back and you don't do it again. And then we have this Machlokas, this interesting Machlokas, between the Maharil and the Ramah, and the Shulchan Aruch. Where do you start it? Where do you start the one breath? Do you start it from the Abed Chamesh Meos Ish because of the fact that the 10 sons of Haman were leaders and sergeants and battalion leaders over 50 men each one? Or do we start from the words, the names themselves, Ves Parshan Dasa? So that's the question. So those are all the questions that are raised. And I'm telling you, we're going to go back. We're going to answer all of them. I think we need like a main idea, a main concept, okay? But as I said before, the first two halachas in the Gemara seem to be connected more intrinsically, inherently, because they're both applied to the Aseres B'nei Haman exclusively, whereas the last idea in the Gemara about, you know, the style of the Shira is a more general, broad idea, and it's applied to the Malchei Kenan as well. So let's take up the Vav idea next and ask the questions, and then we'll go back, and I think we can, you know, put the ideas together, because the idea of the Vav being elongated isn't that distinct of an idea from B'Nishim Achas, the idea that they were hung all together as one. Okay, so let's see inside in Rashi. So what does it mean that the Vav of Vaisasa has to be elongated? So according to Rashi, Rashi says that Zakifa, and he says, I think he's saying in number 9, Forka Balaz, Mazleg, yeah. So it's a fork, and it looked like a fork. Klomar, Davar HaMechulak L'Kama Shinayim O'anofim B'Tzad Echad Zeh L'Mata Mizeh. I think what he's saying is that there was one big pole, and you had branches coming off on one side of the pole, and one was on top of the other, and you had the 10 sons of Haman all hung in that fashion. And I think that's really the pshat that Rashi is expressing. So basically, I don't know how the gallows looked. I'm not familiar. But apparently, there was one big tree, and they were hung, you know, one on top of the other, Okay, fine. Now, what do we do with the Vav? So we elongate the Vav according to, let's see inside. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Tzarech laharech bevav de vaisasa. So you have to elongate the Vav in the name of vaisasa. And in the parentheses, it says b'ksivasa, when you write it. Meaning to say that normally a Vav, there's a top to the Vav, and then there's a normal length to the Vav. And by the Vav of vaisasa, you have to make it longer. And there's a whole question of whether it means make it longer at the bottom, or whether you have to take the top of the Vav and diagonal it upwards. But that's one shita. V'yesh omen b'kriyasa. But some say that when it means that you have to make the Vav of vaisasa longer, it's referring to the kriya, the actual reading of the Vav. And that's, he's quoting the Ran and the Rush. So those are a lot of powerful Rishonim. What do I mean by elongate it? Where else do we see that you're a chayev to elongate a letter? By Shema, by the end. We say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You know, when you're actually being Kore Kriya Shema, not in the Torah itself, but when you're Kore, you're supposed to elongate it, and you're not supposed to cut it off. So too, according to the Ran and the Rush, what it means when it says that you have to elongate the Vav Vaisasa is that you'd have to read it as Vaisasa. I don't know how you're going to do that, but so there seems to be a machlokas. Is it a din that you are supposed to elongate it in the ksav, in the actual writing, or is it an idea in when you're expressing it and you're reading it, the kore, he has to elongate it in his Maisa Kriya, in his act of Kriya? So that's an interesting machlokas that we're also going to have to take up and have to address, okay? And as I said before, look at number 11 in the Taz. You know, Orachayim Simin Tafresh Sadi Alf Sev Katan Gimel Vav Devei Sasa Pirish Limtoch Rosha Hakafa Vitiya Kein Zekufa Shenitlu Kulam Bezekifa Achas. So he brings down the Shita that says that instead of elongating the bottom of the Vav, we take the top of the Vav and we push it upwards and we try to make it like a, you know, like a diagonal upwards. Okay, but there's many different Shitas on what the halacha is. So now I want to address, you know, the main idea. We had a main question in tonight's share that we started with. You know, why is it that important to express the fact that all the Aseres B'nei Haman died simultaneously and they were hung simultaneously? So I want to hear some, you know, possibilities. Does anybody have, you know, any idea or any thoughts on, you know, on the questions here? Come on, I gave everybody enough time to think about it. The main question was raised at the beginning of this year, so I just want to hear what people have to say about, you know, give a possibility as to why it would be important.
Hey, but can I ask you something? When you say they died first before they were hung, so saying they were killed in the battle simultaneously?
Exactly, yes. I don't know how that worked. Yeah. I guess they all died. They all dropped dead simultaneously, you know, by sword or whatever. They just, I don't know, they collapsed simultaneously, and then also they were hung simultaneously. But that's what it means, literally. But the question is, you know, why is that important? What is the idea?
To show the hand of God. I mean, that there was hashgacha, there was some kind of miracle involved.
Okay, I mean, you can express that through just, I don't think you have to express that through simultaneity, you know, the fact that they all died simultaneously. And also, then wouldn't that be expressed, like, only in, let's say, why do you need both also? Why do you need the fact that they died simultaneously and also they were hung simultaneously? They seem to be... Seems to be redundant also.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anybody?
Kind of like,
yeah?
Considering like what Haman's agenda was.
Okay.
Almost like showing him, like, you want to destroy all the Jews, and here are all your sons. Every single person who can continue his family line, and they're all dead.
Okay. All right. But then, fine, we see that from the actual psukim. When the Koreh reads it and we see, oh, the Aseres B'nai Haman died, we know that they all died. So, you know, that's all we need to know, that Haman's offspring all died. Why do we have to know that how they died? You know, that they died in this simultaneous manner, and it also, it has to be expressed in the Kriya itself. It's strange.
I think it's like an important thing for people to see that they all died.
Okay, good. I like that. Oh, okay, fine. So that's Nicole, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Nicole is saying she's making at least a good step, and she's distinguishing between the idea of them dying simultaneously and the idea of them being hung simultaneously. Why? Because you're saying that the death, the fact that they died simultaneously was not recognizable to the people, but the idea of them being hung simultaneously is everybody saw that they, you know, that they were, everybody saw some type of connection between the ten. So one is an idea in, you know, how they actually philosophically how they died, and the other is an idea for the people that they noted it was recognizable, it was nicker as to how they died, right?
Right.
So that's a good. I like that distinction, but I still want to get to the, you know, the root of the idea. I don't think it's just the idea that that it's hashgacha. I mean, I think we would know that it's hashgacha even if you didn't do it b'neshima achas. I think there's a deeper idea here. Or there's another idea possibly. So I want to. Well, what is the whole idea of the killing of B'nai Haman? Like, why is it significant philosophically that B'nai Haman were killed? Let's look at the halacha of the Arba Parshios.
Does it have to do with Amalek? Yeah. Wiping out Amalek?
Yeah, it has to do with wiping out Amalek. And in fact, this year is a good proof. So when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on a Sunday, like it did this year. So this last week, normally you read Shkalim and then you read Parshas Zachor. But in this month, this past month, last week we didn't read any of the Dal Parshios. We didn't read Zachor. Why didn't we read Zachor? Because the idea is that we push off Zachor to as close to Purim as possible. Why do we do that? So the pshat is because of the fact that killing Haman and his children were really a reflection of Mechias Amalek, of really destroying Amalek. And let's look at the halacha. Look at number 12, the Shulchan Aruch. Aruch Haim Siman, Tuf Reish Pei Hei Sif Hei. Chal Rosh Chodesh Adar HaSamach LeNisan Toch Yimei HaShavua. So if Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is close to Nisan, falls out within, he means Adar Sheni, falls out Toch Yimei HaShavua, it falls out within the week, Vafilu Be'erev Shabbos, even on Erev Shabbos, Makdimin Likros Parsha Shkalim B'Shabbos Shalofanov, we read Shkalim in the week before, Umafsikin B'Shnia, and we stop, we don't read the Dal Parshios on the second week, Kedei Shetei Parshas Zachor B'Shabbos HaSmucha L'Purim Milfaneh, so that we push off Zachor to the week before, you know, to the week right before Purim. Vim Chal Purim B'Erev Shabbos Makdimin Likrosh Parshas Zachor B'Shabbos L'Fanav. And if Purim falls out on Erev Shabbos, then we move Zachor to the week before. The general concept being that we always want to read the Parshas Zachor, we always want to read Parshas Zachor before Purim. Why? Because apparently in Purim, there is an idea of destroying Amalek, and it would seem to me, just a pshat, is that destroying, you know, Haman and Haman's children is really the concept of Mechias Amalek, because Haman is certainly Amalek. So that's definitely a true idea there. So now I think that gives us an opening into trying to understand why it's important that they were killed simultaneously. But let's look in the psukim in Zachor, in Parshas Zachor, number 13, which we're going to read this week. Zachor is asher asalecha Amalek baderech betzeischa mimitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you when you left Mitzrayim. Asher karecha baderech vayizanev becha kol nechashalim acharecha ve'ata ayif yageh v'lo yarei elokim. So they basically took advantage of the weak people and they cut them off in the back of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael were tired, and Amalek did not fear God at all. They were willing to take on. Even after all the miracles that had occurred in Mitzrayim, they were willing to take on the Jews. Apparently, it demonstrated a full lack of Yiras Hashem that they were willing to take on the Jewish people. Yotas v'hayah b'haniach Hashem alokecha lecha mikol oivecha misaviv ba'aret asher Hashem alokecha nosein lecha nachal l'rishta temche zecher amalek mitachas hashemayim lo sishkach. So when you have respite from all your enemies, the mitzvah is to obliterate Timche Zecher Amalek, the remembrance of Amalek, from Mitachas Shemaim, from under the sky, Lo Tishkach. and you should not forget. It's a funny kind of contradiction there, because the Torah is telling us on the one hand that the mitzvah is to be mocha zecher Amalek. You're supposed to obliterate any remembrance of Amalek, but on the other hand, it says lo tishkach. You shouldn't forget. We have to remember what they did to us, but on the other hand, there's an obligation to be mocha the zecher Amalek, to obliterate the remembrance, the zechira of Amalek. And if you look at Rashi in number 14, he says timcha zecher Amalek meish v'ad isha me'olel v'ad yonek, from a man to a woman, obliterate them me'olel v'ad yonek, from an old person to a child, mishor v'adse, even animals, shelo yehe shem Amalek niskar afilo al behema. We're not supposed to mention the name of Amalek at all. It's not supposed to be recognizable even on an animal. Lomar behema zu mishel Amalek haisa, meaning to say that this behema belonged to Amalek. So you have this weird pasuk here. It says on the one hand that we're lo sishkach, we're not supposed to forget about Amalek, but on the other hand, we're supposed to be timcha zecher Amalek. And apparently, the idea of timcha zecher Amalek seems to go beyond just killing them. It doesn't say kill, destroy Amalek, but it says timcha zecher Amalek. So what is that idea? I just want to understand, you know, how it is possible that we can have both, that it's like lo sishkach and timcha zecher Amalek, but also what does it mean to be, you know, timcha zecher Amalek? Why is it significant that we have to obliterate their names? Like we always say, Hitler yamach shemo. So what is that idea? What's the concept of Hitler yamach shemo? Okay, so I think that's an opening for the answer. So I want to give a possibility, and I think it's a key idea, a critical idea, in understanding the Aseres B'nei Haman and why we do it B'nishima Achas, and hopefully everything will come together after this idea. So what's the concept of?
I think that when you remember something, you give credence to it.
Okay, good. So what you're saying?
And you like disregard it.
Okay, good.
It's not even important enough to remember.
Excellent. Okay, good. So what you're saying is that you can remember something for the facts, you know, factually what happened, but you don't want to give credence to what you're remembering. For example, there's an idea of an enemy. He was a good competitor. He was a good enemy of mine. Like in sports, I know a lot in sports. When you lose to a team, when you beat a team, even though you beat them, you can say, oh, they were a good enemy. They were a good competitors, and you're recognizing. What'd you say?
A worthy opponent.
Yeah, worthy. Exactly. Thank you. Those are the words that I'm looking for. A worthy opponent. They're a worthy opponent. So there's an idea there that you're giving them a certain respect in challenging you. But the idea, I think, of Timcha as Zecher Amalek is that in remembering Amalek, we're supposed to remember Amalek in order to destroy them and in order to use it and utilize it as a means of destroying them. But on the other hand, we can't give them any dignity. And by taking away the name of the person, like we say Hitler Yamach Shemo, the idea of Hitler Yamach Shemo is that we shouldn't give any dignity or any credence to the enemy of Amalek. And by mentioning a name, when you say that there is the name of Hitler, you say that in itself is giving them a certain kavod, a certain dignity, and we try to remove that. And I was thinking of a good example that maybe I think will fit in nicely. We know by the Holocaust, definitely, certainly so, but also by 9/11. By 9/11, so all these people died in the World Trade Center. Whenever they have the World Trade Center, whenever they have an anniversary of what happened, they always read off the names. So what's the idea of reading off the names? Apparently, it's a lack of dignity to die with many people because you become nameless, and it takes away, you know, a certain kavod, a certain respect within your death, within the downfall. So the idea of reading off the names is an idea of giving each person, you know, the appropriate respect that they deserve so that they're not forgotten, that at least they're given a certain dignity in their death. So yeah, I think by the Aseres B'nei Haman, now we can come back to the Aseres B'nei Haman. What's the idea that the Aseres B'nei Haman were killed simultaneously? Apparently, it's an idea of removing their individuality. On the one hand, we do read in the Megillah the names of Haman, and the reason why we reread the names of Haman is because of the idea of lo sishkach, and we have to remember what they tried to do, and we have to remember it in the most, you know, in the most clearest possible manner. But we also have to mention it b'neshima achas to recognize that we're not giving them, you know, a dignity in their death. We're not mentioning their names because of the fact that they were valiant or worthy opponents of ours, But rather, b'neshima achas, the idea of neshima achas is that it's expressing the concept of mechias amalek, of complete obliteration of amalek, that they died not as individuals, but they died in a group. And we're only mentioning the name as an idea of understanding fully, you know, what they tried to do to the Jews and how they were unsuccessful. But we also have to recognize that in their death, there's a lack of dignity when you die amongst many. Okay, so I think that's the main idea of b'neshima achas. And also the idea of Vaisasa, which we're going to explain a little bit further, but they're similar ideas in the sense that they're both trying to express that there's a lack of individuality in the death of the Aseres B'nei Haman, that they died as a group, as a unit of a group, just like I said, by the World Trade Center, when the towers fell and the people died in a group, one would think that it would remove dignity. Of course, we in the anniversary, we always read off the names to demonstrate that each individual was a unique individual and there's a certain worthiness to them. But by the Aseres B'nei Haman, because they're a Amalek, because they have no Yiras Hashem, and because of the nature of them as enemies, the mitzvah is to be mocha zechiras Amalek, completely obliterate them. And by referencing the fact that the Aseres B'nei Haman were killed simultaneously, we're recognizing that idea, that concept. Okay? So how does that fit in? How do we answer all the questions now? So let's go back. So one of the questions was, why do we have to include Aseres afterwards? So I think that makes sense based on this concept, this svara. Because the idea of Aseres is referencing the fact that they died as a unit, as 10. They didn't die as individuals. So it's not enough to just mention, you know, their names, but we also have to mention Vaseres to reference the concept that they died among, you know, they died as a group, as a unit, which is the idea that's being expressed here, that they were just a unit, they weren't individuals. It's true we're mentioning their names, but really the idea is that they died as a unit. Okay, I think that's a simple answer. But what about the idea of Lechachila B'dieved, and also the other concept, the other machlokas, about where do we start from? See, the idea of Lechachila B'dieved is that apparently the main idea in Amalek is that we destroy Amalek. And there seems to be Lechachila, if we just read the names, we get a general idea of the story. But apparently this is a key, there's a kiyum, there's an enhancement of the idea of Mechias Amalek, of destroying, obliterating the remembrance of Amalek by doing it b'neshima achas. So the Tosfos and the Halacha also fits in with this, are basically saying that this idea is really not an essential idea. It doesn't obliterate your Kriyas HaMegillah. Your Kriyas HaMegillah is still good, but you're enhancing the idea and the understanding of the destruction of Amalek by referencing the way that they died, b'neshima achas, and that they were hung together. And that's an idea, lechatchila. But b'diavad, you're still yotzei. Okay? So what about the question of...
How hard is it to find someone who could read it one breath?
I don't know. I mean, it's not. Let's say you have an old guy, you know, who can't do it. It's not that easy. Let's see how you do it.
Don't let him read.
Don't let him read. What if you're in a situation? What if you're in like a nursing home and there's only old people there and they can't do it? So if they can't do it, we don't say don't read the Megillah because you can't do the Aseres B'nei Haman in one breath. Because you can still get the idea of the destruction of Amalek. You're just not getting this, you know, this complete idea. There's a completeness to this idea. That it's not just the destruction of Amalek, but it's also the way that they were destroyed. So if you're lacking that, you're not lacking the idea, the essential idea, but it's an idea, it's a kiyum, it's a nice enhancement of the kriya. Okay? What about the machlokes? Where do you start it from? Do you start it from the names, or do you start it from Va'abed Chamesh Me'os Ish? So how do we explain that machlokes now? I think the idea is as follows. By Abed Chamesh Me'os Ish, apparently the Ma'aril holds that the B'nai Haman were really the battalion leaders of the people that died. I think the Ma'aril holds, and I think he understood this concept, that the concept of B'neshiva Achas is expressing the death of the B'nai Haman as a unit and not as individuals. So when you mention the fact that they died amongst 500 men, you know, amongst the men that they were fighting with, it takes away even more so from their individuality. So one side, the Ma'aril saying that the more you can take away from the individuality of the Aseres B'nei Haman in expressing their death, the better. So therefore he holds V'abed Chamesh Me'os Ish is really appropriate because the fact that they died with, you know, 500 other men is even a greater demonstration of a lack of individuality. So that's really what the Ma'aril holds. So the Ma'aril holds that ideally you start the Neshima Achas from V'abed Chamesh Me'os Ish. But the Shulchan Aruch, I think, he holds that this idea is limited to Amalek. And when you attach it to the Chamesh Meosish, the other men who weren't Amalek, so you lose out on that concept. So the question, the machloka seems to be, is it better to attach the Aseres B'nei Haman to the Chamesh Meosish because there's a greater lack of individuality, and that's the Maharil? Or do we limit it to the names of Haman because this idea is a unique idea in Amalek alone, in Mechias Amalek? So that, to me, seems to be the machlokas as to whether the Neshima Achas would start from Ve'abed Chamesh Meosish versus starting from the names themselves. Okay?
Can you just explain one more time why it's important to read each individual name? Because they just seem like such contradictory.
No, because I think the idea is that on the one hand, we have to remember, and we have to remember accurately. But on the other hand, the remembrance of it accurately shouldn't be thought of as giving them credence. It should be the opposite. So there has to be an accurate recording of what happened, because only then will you have an idea of losishkach. But on the other hand, in recording it, you also have to demonstrate, a lack of kavod, a lack of respect, a lack of individuality. So that's why we're expressing both ideas. On the one hand, we're showing, what the Aseres B'nei Haman tried to do to the Jews and how they were destroyed. And on the other hand, we also have to express in mentioning their names that we're not mentioning it because we're giving them a dignity and an importance or a significance in their death, but it's actually the opposite, that they died simultaneously and they died with a lack of individuality. So I think that's hopefully that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Okay. No, yeah, it does. But it's like four Lotishka.
Yeah, I'm saying you have to mention the destruction of Amalek and you have to be accurate. But on the other hand, you don't want it to express the wrong idea that there's a dignity that they're worthy of opponents, like as was said before. So both those ideas have to be expressed. Okay. Now, what about the last point? What about the vav of Vaisasa? So it seems to be there's a machlokas whether the vav of Vaisasa is an idea in the ksiva, in the writing of it, the Megillah, or it's an idea in the kriya, in the kriya. So I think Nicole said earlier that there's two ideas being expressed in their death simultaneously and them being hung simultaneously. One's an idea philosophically, that they died simultaneously, and the people didn't know that. The other idea is an idea in it being recognizable to the people. So one side's going to say that both of those ideas complement one another, and they're really in one idea, but they really complement one another. So if they complement one another, they should really be expressed in the kriya. Because when you say neshima, when you say b'neshima achas, and you elongate the vav of Vaisasa, so both ideas are being expressed simultaneously. The fact that philosophically they died simultaneously, so to speak, lahavdil, in the eyes of God, they died simultaneously, and also in the eyes of the people, it was nicker that they were killed in this manner. And in them being hung up, there's a lack of dignity. So those ideas seem to be complementary to one another. So both ideas are expressed in the kriya in order to demonstrate it. But another possibility, another way of looking at it is that, hold on one second. Another way of looking at it is that they're not really two complementary ideas, but they're really two distinct ideas. And if you look at it that they're two distinct ideas, so then the idea should be that it should be expressed in two different avenues. And what are the two different avenues? See, the idea of kriya is an idea I just said that wrong. The two ideas, there's two possibilities. Either the ideas complement one another, or the ideas are really the same ideas. They're really similar ideas, but the halacha is telling you that it has to be expressed in two different venues. One venue is kriya, and that's really being modia la'am, and that there's an idea of a maisa kriya, but the other idea is ksiva. What's the idea of ksiva? Ksiva is when you learn it. See, Megillah has two aspects to it. The Megillah is a sefer that we read, but Megillah is also a sefer that we learn. So apparently the idea is that this concept, that the Aseres B'nei Haman were killed simultaneously, and that it's real Mechias Amalek, that idea has to be expressed in both venues. The venue of Limud, the venue of learning, and also the venue of Kriya. So the machlokas between the Vav Vaisasa is, are the two ideas really the same ideas, and they're really just being expressed in two different venues? Or are the two ideas complementary to one another, and they both have to be expressed in the kriya together, and you get a more enhanced view of how their death simultaneously, expresses this idea of Mechias Amalek. So that seems to be the machlokas. Hopefully people understand that on the phone line. Does that make sense? Tamar, you've been very active. Is that good?
Yeah.
Tamar? Tamar?
Yeah, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. All right. All right, thank you. Okay, fine. So we have those ideas now. We have the main idea, which is Mechias Amalek, and apparently the idea of Mechias Amalek demands that we remove any worthiness to Amalek as much as possible, and that's the idea of simultaneity. It's expressed in the Vav Vaisasa and Neshima Achas, and we have that Machlokas, whether it's, you know, both expressed in the Kriya, because they're complementary ideas, or they're expressed in two different avenues or two different venues. One's in Kriya and the other one's in Limud. Okay? Okay, so what about the last idea? The last idea, which is the epigraphy and the style of the Shira, apparently it's different by the Bnei Haman versus Az Yashir. So what's the difference? By Az Yashir, it's staggered. But by the Bnei Haman, it's not staggered. It's really one column. And the Mefarshim explain that the idea is that there are steps. For example, by the Shira Hayam, it looks like there are steps. And if you were to fall off the top of the Shira, then there would be a step underneath you. There would be some type of support underneath you, and then you can climb back up to the top step. But by the Bnei Haman, the idea is that if the Rasha steps off of the column, so there's no support underneath him, and he's a dead man. So what kind of strange idea is that? That's really the pshat of what the Gemara is saying. And this is not just limited to, you know, the Bnei Haman and also the Malchei Kenan, but it's also in another place. If we look in the Ritva, number 16, he says, V'deka'amra chutz mishira zu lav dafka. It doesn't mean just this shira. Elahu adin l'chol she'ina derach halel. Any shira that's not an idea in praise, in halel, like shira sayam, elashemaskir mapalasan shel rasham. But any shira in the Torah that demonstrates or recognizes the destruction of rasham, kigon shiras Malchei Kenan shebesefer Yoshua. That's one. V'chein shiras ha'azinu, shemedaberes gamkein v'mapalasen shel Rishayim, uv'chol ha'shiras kulon, afapisha osa osam ariach agabe levein, olevein agabe ariach. So too, you see it by ha'azinu. It's the same thing. By ha'azinu, you don't have a staggered style of writing, but rather, you know, each line is written on top of the next line. Because it's talking about the destruction of the Rasha, and it's showing you that there's really no support behind the Rasha. If the Rasha falls off the side of the cliff, he's going all the way down to the bottom, as opposed to Az Yashir, where there are supports, there are steps, and it's staggered. So what is this concept? And also, why is this? It doesn't seem to be limited to Amalek, because it's expressed in Hazinu, and it's expressed in the Malchei Kenan, so it's a general idea in the Oyvei Klal Yisrael. But it has to fit into the idea of Amalek, because the Gemara seems to have an order, and there seems to be a theme in the Gemara. So how do we explain this idea? So there's one last idea to complete this year. So the idea is that, as we said before, by Mechias Amalek, we don't recognize the dignity of Amalek in their destruction. And we try to remove the individuality, Hitler Yimach Shemo, you know, by the Bnei Haman. But by other enemies of Klal Yisrael, we don't go to the same lengths. It never doesn't say to be Moche Zechiras Kenan, you know, Malchei Kenan. So by normal Rishayim, we don't say that we have to destroy them in a way whereby their dignity is completely removed. But on the other hand, the idea that the Gemara is expressing here is that we can't think that there is a support, there's a legitimacy to their fight against Klal Yisrael. So on the one hand, we don't go as far as a Malek by the regular Oyev of Klal Yisrael, but on the other hand, there is an idea that we have to understand, or that's being expressed in the epigraphy and the style of writing of the Shira, that is that there's no real legitimacy, there's no support to the Rasha. There's nothing backing him up. And the idea is that if the Rasha falls, the Rasha falls hard, and there's nothing behind them, there's nothing supporting him. So on the one hand, by Amalek, as I said before, we don't give them any dignity, but by the regular Oyvei Yisrael, it's not that we are required to not give them dignity, but we are required to not to at least delegitimize their fight and their approach. We have to say that they really have no support behind them, and they really had no chance to really succeed against Klal Yisrael. But it's a different idea. It's a lesser idea than the Amalek. It really applies to Amalek, but Amalek takes it one step further than the regular Rishayim or the Rishay Yisrael. So I think that fits into the general theme of tonight's shir. So I just want to go over the ideas, and then I'll take up that question from before about the Shira. But I just want to go over the ideas. the main idea of tonight's shiur is that there is a uniqueness in reading the Aseres B'nei Haman B'Neshima Achas. And the reason why it's unique is that it's expressing the fact that they all died simultaneously. And the question was, why is that important? I think it's important because it's tied to the destruction of Amalek. And we read Parshas Zachor, you know, this week. And the idea of destroying Amalek is that we remember Amalek and what they try to do to us, you know, in the most concise way, in order to give us an accurate recording. But on the other hand, we don't give them dignity. We don't give them individuality. And that's the idea of, you know, of simultaneity of death. But on the, and also, and furthermore, it's expressed in Vaisasa as well, the Vav of Vaisasa, the fact that they were hung. It was nicker to the Jews how they were killed. And there's a machlokas there that we defined before. Fine. And then the last idea that I want to express is the idea that the style of the shira is different. And why is it different? Because it's showing you that we can't look at, it's true that we don't have to destroy the individuality of the enemies of Klal Yisrael other than Amalek, but we don't give them any legitimacy. We don't say that they ever, you know, have any support or any chance to undo Klal Yisrael, to really fight against Klal Yisrael. And we delegitimize, you know, what, their support and their backing. We try to delegitimize them as enemies, but on the other hand, they still can maintain a certain dignity as opposed to Amalek. Okay? So I think that's the main idea of the Shira. I just want to take up the idea of the Shira. I think I heard this idea before in the past about the Shira. Why is the Mapalasan of Rishayim demonstrated as a Shira, as a song? So I think the idea that I heard in the past was that there's a Shira of Mishpat, that the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a beauty and there's a poetry to the justice of God. And when we express the destruction of Amalek, of Bnei Haman, of the Malchei Canaan, when it's expressed properly, it's demonstrating Mishpat Hashem. And there's a certain beauty and an awe that's inspired by seeing Mishpat Hashem, even though it's harsh. So I think that's the idea that I heard about Shira, why the Bnei Haman or why Hazinu would be in a Shira form. So that's all I can say about that matter. Any other questions? Anybody have any other points? Or was that Shira clear? All right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So everybody have a happy Purim, everybody. All right. Have a happy Purim. Enjoy your Purim. Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a good night.